I would like to acknowledge the co-authors in this study. It's a pool of faculty members, visiting scientists, and graduate students, interns, and they are very helpful in conducting this grazing work. So I'll characterize South Florida first because it's a unique place compared to the remaining of the United States. So we have a herd of beef cows of about 1 million animals. It's pretty much a cow-calf system. We have very little stocker. And about 80% of that cow population is located around South Central Florida, as you can see here in this area, close to the Lake Okeechobee. So this area here, it has spodosols, really low fertility, mild winters, and pretty much we have perennial warm season grasses. So it will be very similar to what we see actually in the Caribbean area and some areas in South America. And because of the characteristics that I just talked to you, stockpiling is probably the main forage conservation procedure that they use for beef cattle in South Florida. That's pretty much just accumulate some forage in the fall to be used in the mild winter subsequently. And we have this limpo grass that is a native from the southern part of Africa. It's a warm season perennial grass. It doesn't really tolerate some very cold weather, but it do very well in South Florida. And the main reason why this grass is so attractive for stockpiling is it can maintain the energy levels even when it's very mature at greater levels than other warm season forages. So even when it's mature, the protein goes down, but the energy levels are pretty acceptable. So this is just an illustration of a stockpiled limpo grass. This is the last week of January 2008. So this is one of the typical winters that we have around the region that I was describing to you. In 2014, according to a request from the Florida beef cattle producers, the breeding and management team from the University of Florida, they released two new cultivars of limpo grass. Those were based in a cross between the standard Floralta that is the most used in the state with a Big Alta. There was a cultivar that has a greater nutritive value. So a hybrid between these two generate about 56 plants that were selected over 5-6 years. And we finally released Gibituck and Kenhai as the two new hybrids. And we have seen consistently that these new hybrids has had better herbage accumulation and nutritive value than the standard Floralta. However, in this stockpiling system, we have seen that what really is changing over the grazing period is the morphology and nutritive value of the plant. Because we start grazing, as I show in that slide, with the plant green, very tall, just leaves, and we go down through the grazing season when the plant is pretty much mature and just with stems remaining. And we have noticed in previous work that we did with stockpiled limpo grass, like the one that Andrea Aguiar did, that we have the same supplement treatments in 2 years, same pasture, same methodology, but because of a difference in nutritive value of that stockpiled limpo grass, we have completely different results. When the cows increase body condition in the first year, on the second year, it was pretty much maintained the same body condition because of the nutritive value of the stockpiled limpo grass. So with that in mind, our objective was to compare, again, the standard of the industry that is Floralta with this new hybrid Gibituck under stockpiling systems, and also to evaluate those changes over time in this morphology and nutritive value of the stockpiled pastures. We did the work at the research center at ONA in South Florida. It's a latitude around 27 for some people that are more familiar with the northern latitudes. And the treatments were the two cultivars that we have in a split plot design with three heights that were 25 centimeters increments from 0 to 75. And we did in four replicates, and we had 86 days grazing season. The pastures were established previously, so we come in October and mow those pastures at 7 centimeters stubble height. That is very short for the limpo grass. However, we wanted to have that accumulation of new material. We fertilize with 60 kilos of nitrogen, and let those pastures to grow from October to the first week of January when we start the grazing season, January, February, and March. They were continuously stocked with a fixed stocking rate. Those stocking rates were based on the literature that we have there, but for stockpiled forage. That stocking rate is the equivalent of providing to those mature cows about 1,500 pounds of dry hay. So that is the calculation that we make with these stockpiled pastures. We have forage samples collected every 14 days, and those were the response variables that we measured. Are you going to see my slides for the results? That I have some comparison with the nutrient requirement of an animal when I'm showing quantity and nutritive value. So the animal that I will be comparing there, it's a mature Berengus lactating beef cow and producing about 5 kilos of milk a day. And that came from the model from the NRC. So as some results, as we didn't see any interaction between cultivars and months or height, I will present first the cultivar differences. And we consistent, as we saw in previous work that we did with Limpograss and the new cultivars, that this hybrid, the Gibtuck, had a tendency to have greater herbage mass through the stockpiling and grazing season, if you can count for both. And we have a greater crude protein and greater digestibility levels. So there was no interaction. There was showing that this new cultivar actually confirmed that increase in production and nutritive value compared to the standard Floralta. So now we have interactions between month and the height, and I will show you through the next slides. This is the herbage mass, and this is the heights that I have, the increments. You can see here that in the first month, as we thought, the forage was pretty high. And we have this portion here that was actually from 50 to 75 centimeters, so very high. We don't know why there was a decrease in the bottom layer in quantity right here. It may be trampling or something that got some noise in the evaluation, but we saw here that it bounced back. So we have the bottom layer that, because of the density, it is a great portion of the herbage mass. And we have the intermediate level that disappeared pretty much in March, and compared with the top level, there was just sufficient for supply for to the cows in the first month of grazing. So we have previous work showing some relationship between herbage allowance and animal performance. That is not very consistent on stockpiled forage, but some previous work that we did, we felt that on the quantity standpoint, when we have 1.4 kilos of dry matter exposed to 1 kilo of live weight, we have sufficient quantity for those animals. In that study, those animals were receiving 3 kilos of supplement, of a molasses-based supplement. So that is just some analogy here relating the quantity that we have to probably the animal requirement. Here is the leaf proportion in those layers. You can see that the top layer has almost 90% leaf, compared to the intermediate level, there was about 15-16% leaf, and the bottom level was predominantly stems. So I have here some slides to show you. So that ruler here is inches, so doesn't really apply to the centimeters that I'm telling you. But this is how we start the grazing. You can see here the frame that we use. This is the 75 centimeters here. You can see the top layer, intermediate layer, that had about 60% leaves compared to the bottom layer right here, that was the bottom 0 to 25, that was about 70% stems and 30% leaves. On the nutritive value standpoint, here is the crude protein levels. We saw an increase in the bottom intermediate level when we came from January to February here. We saw that the top layer was pretty good in protein. I think, as we can see, sufficient to maintain the cow in the first month. We assume that the increase in protein came from some new regrowth from the Limpograss, because that plant can grow in the cool season. So that may be a result of that growth, but we can see that there was not a lot of difference between the bottom and intermediate levels in crude protein concentration. Now the energy standpoint. So again, the first month we have sufficient energy probably to maintain the mature cow, and we didn't see the same trend, the increase in energy in the second month. However, we see that those layers disappear as it happened to the herbivory mass that I showed before, and we ended up in March with something that was close to 400 grams per kilo. That means it was a very restricted energy concentration or digestibility. So just summarizing, based on my hypothesis of having to adjust the supplementation level through the grazing season, we have seen that these are the months, and this is supplementation on dry matter, crude protein, and TDN. We have seen that the first month, I think we would not need any supplement. That grass will be sufficient to provide the nutrients for the cow. When you go in February, we're going to have to provide energy and protein. And when you go to March, when you get to that bottom layer that was remaining, that was pretty much stems and lower digestibility, you have to increase the levels of energy. That is very important, primarily because, in general, beef cattle producers, they set up their supplementation program from January to March with the same quantity and composition. So that means you'll be overfeeding during the first months, and you may be underfeeding during the last months, and that information can help them to adjust that supplementation program. So as a conclusion, we saw that the Gibb duck was superior to the standard Floralta, so it's recommended in Florida now, and we have probably a good supply of plant material now for producers to establish these new fields with the new cultivar that we believe is superior. And as I mentioned, those variations in forage mass and nutritive value need to be accounted when you have your supplementation program in order to match that requirement of the cows to the stockpiled forage that is offered during the grazing season. I'd like to thank you for sticking around. I am the last of the last today, and I'll turn back to the chair. Yeah, the question was regarding the invasiveness of limpo grass. It's a very touchy issue in Florida right now. As a forage management person, I really want something invasive, just to be honest, because the ones that are not invasive, they just die and disappear, and that doesn't work in our warm season perennial system. The limpo grass, it may be a concern in some regions where they do not have access to grazing, primarily ditches, if you think about. I have problems to keep the stand of limpo grass under grazing or under management. I think that has been the main problem. So in my perspective, I think the biggest pitfall of limpo grass is it's not persistent enough. With that in mind, I think that the invasiveness of that species, I think we have a lot of room to debate if that is actually the true or not. And if I think we have enough management practices to decrease the potential of invasiveness of limpo grass. So I think there would have species that would have a greater potential than limpo grass. Yes, Mark?
Yeah, have you considered harvesting the upper part when it's of high nutritive value and stockpile that and use it when, later on in the season when don't have good quality?
Yes, the question was regarding harvesting the material with better quality, right? And later feeding to the animals. I think because of those characteristics that I described to you, and also the type of beef cattle producer that we have in South Florida, it is considered an extensive system, and they have very little harvesting and fertilizing and management, so everything is pretty much based on grazing. So these producers here, some of them, they feed their replacement heifers, but they never will feed hay or silage, anything for the mature cow herd, because many times are very remote areas with large acreage. So it is an option. Limpo grass is actually is labeled in South Florida. Limpo grass is a cow hay because of the digestibility. They keep that. If they tell you about cow hay, it's limpo grass. Some people do, primarily to market the hay, but most of the producers, they refuse to harvest and store it because of the cost and labor involved. One restraint of talking about limpo grass is you'll be just people from Florida, from South Florida, talking about limpo grass. So if it was fescue, everybody would be excited, right? But because it's limpo grass, we have very little interest. But that's the truth. But as Dr. Quisenberry said, it's such an important component right now of the forage systems for us. The question was, what is the northern limit for limpo grass? I think we don't know exactly what is the northern limit, but we go up to Mariana, on the with Alabama over there, and we have limpo grass that is perennial and stay there. It's sensitive to management. I think it's more the way that you manage in that area. If you fertilize and if you harvest well or graze it right, I think you'll be perennial there. The biggest advantage of limpo grass is it grows well in poorly drained soils. So sometimes in those areas up north, we don't have an option to plant in those areas. You know, during the summer, they have 2 or 3 weeks of water standing. And this limpo grass go very well in that environment. So I would say for us, that I don't want it to be the limited to Florida, but for us, we think that if you go up to Mariana, it may still work for you. Thank you. Thank you.